want you to go to Revelation 21, Revelation 21, and let's grab Ephesians chapter number, Ephesians chapter 2. Let's go to chapter 2. Revelation, it all of a sudden went real loud. Bring it back where it was a second ago. Revelation 21 and Ephesians chapter number 2. Okay, anybody need a handout, just lift your hand up real high. Our ushers will be glad to give you the last notes for the 20 C's. The last notes will be tonight. We're going to do the 20th C part 2 tonight. Revelation 21. I want to apologize up front. You can tell I sound terrible. I thought it was just allergies, allergy problem. Anybody battling their allergies right now in Florida here in the spring? Oh, mercy. I have been coughing my head off. Have you ever coughed so hard that you were afraid you're going to blow a blood vessel in your head? That's how I feel. I mean, I was on the way over here in the parking lot, walking over from the office building, and I coughed and I said, "Whoa, I think I blew a blood vessel," it's just unbelievable how hard I've been coughing. So if I start coughing tonight, and my wife's not here, bless her heart, I believe in sharing with my wife everything. Everything I have, I share. Well, I took that a little too far. She's sick tonight. I think she's got what I had. So just pray for her. I was full blown into that thing on Sunday. Let you in on a little secret. And nobody knows this, but few people do. But at 10 till 9 Sunday morning before the 9:30 service, I was on the phone with Pastor Larry getting him ready to preach Sunday morning. Literally. I mean, we spent 15 minutes, didn't we? I was prepping him, getting ready to go, and he was going to preach that message on forgiveness Sunday morning. And then I popped some medicine in. Isn't it amazing what medicine can do? I feel great now, So I popped a little medicine in me about 10 till 9 when I got off the phone with him, and about 5 after 9, I thought, wow, I think I might be able to do this, And so I appreciate Pastor Larry being ready. He was going to preach. In fact, guess when he found out he wasn't going to preach? The fourth song Sunday morning. I'm not kidding. The fourth song Sunday morning on the platform, right before we got ready to sing the last song, I said, "I think I'm going to be able to go." It's like, whew, all right. Amen. Well, amen. Look at Revelation 21, and let's review, okay? There are three new places that we said that God is going to create for the saved to dwell in for eternity. Three brand new places. Can anybody name one of them? Okay, a lot of you said new heaven. That's correct. Look at Revelation 21, verse 1, and I saw a new heaven. Okay, what's the second new place? New earth he creates. And then what's the third new place? A new city, New Jerusalem. You remember what happened last week? He creates the new earth, the new heaven, the new Jerusalem. And the new Jerusalem comes down out of heaven and it descends on the new earth. And so this new city, the new Jerusalem, is the capital of the new earth. And we saw some fascinating things last week. How that there are kings and nations that will dwell on the new earth. And they're going into the new Jerusalem in order to partake of the tree of life. And we saw that Christ is ruling and reigning on the throne in the new Jerusalem, on that Davidic throne. We saw that the new earth and the new Jerusalem are primarily fulfillments of the covenant and the promises that God made to the nation of Israel. And Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. And all of a sudden, here it comes, finally. This city whose builder and maker is God descends, and God takes his throne room and brings it down on this new earth. And God promised Israel he was going to plant them in that land, never to be removed again. with Jerusalem as their capital. And so that promise is fulfilled. God said to Israel, I'm going to give you a king that's going to reign on the Davidic throne. He's going to reign on that throne forever. And so God keeps that promise to the nation of Israel and brings that throne onto the new earth where Christ will rule and reign. And God said to Israel, I'm going to make you a glory. And all the Gentile nations and kings are going to come to your glory and to your rising. And we see that promise fulfilled here on the new earth. And when this all takes place, the Gentiles, he said, are going to come to you, Israel, for blessing. And we see the Gentile kings and nations coming to the new Jerusalem for their blessing, to eat of the tree of life. And God said, Israel, I'm going to make Jerusalem no more a place of war. It's going to be a place of peace and rest, and there'll be no more crying. And we see in Revelation 21, look down at verse number 4. It says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. I will not be coughing, amen, in eternity, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the what? The throne. Notice that throne there is established. Now, I want you to go back to Revelation 21:1, and I want you to look at something here. The first thing that God creates here is he creates a new what? Heaven. Now, in your handout, it says God not only has a purpose for the new earth, but he also has a definite purpose for the new heaven. Okay, now if there's a purpose for the new earth, and clearly we've seen there is, then do you believe there's a purpose for God creating the new heaven? Yes or no? Amen. Yes. God doesn't do anything without a purpose. Amen. So what is that? I mean, and we know the new Jerusalem isn't the extent of the heavens. I mean, the heavens are vast. The new Jerusalem is just 1,500 miles long and wide and high. So when he talks about the new heaven, that's not synonymous with the new Jerusalem. The new Jerusalem's in the third heaven. It's located there right now. But the new heaven isn't the new Jerusalem. Okay, because the new Jerusalem has been under construction for a while. It's not new. It's been under construction because Jesus said, I go to what? Prepare a place for you. So the new heaven is different and distinct from this city, the new Jerusalem. So we've got the new earth, and we see the whole purpose of the new earth. But then we have this thing called the new heaven. What's the purpose? Well, in your handout, it says God's purpose for the new heaven involves the church, the body of Christ. So for the past 2,000 years, God's been calling out, he's been forming a new organism called the church, the body of Christ. Now, what does the Bible say about us? That's us, by the way, in case you don't know. We are the church, the body of Christ. So what does the Bible say about us? Go to Ephesians 2. Let me show you. Ephesians chapter 2. When we talk about the ages to come, the eternal future, what does the Bible say? Well, look at Ephesians 2, verse 6. Paul says that God has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Okay, now let's just stop there a second before I read on. Is that something, now you're going to have to think tonight, is that something God's going to do, or is that something according to the verse he's already done? We'll look at it. And hath raised us up. Does that sound like something he's going to do, or does that sound like something he's already done? Okay, he's already done it. So he's raised us up together and made us, notice, this is what he's done, sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So the moment we trusted Jesus Christ, God raised us up. There was a resurrection, a spiritual resurrection that took place, and he gave us a position in Christ. But where is that position? Well, look at the verse. Where is the position? In heavenly places. Now, notice it says there in verse 6, every word's important in the Word of God. So I want you to look at it. And hath raised us up together and made us, that next word's important. What is it? Sit. Sit. Do you know what that word sit means? It means, if you look it up, it means to sit down, to set, to appoint, to settle, to hover, or to dwell. It's that same Greek word is translated to tarry in other places, to tarry. So God has appointed us, stay with me, God's appointed us. This is an appointment. He's appointed us to dwell or to tarry, to sit in the heavenlies. But why? Why not the new earth? Why the heavenlies? Look at the next verse, verse 7, it'll tell you. That in the ages to come, now we're out there, see, in that time period, Revelation 21, 22, we're out there in eternity, the ages to come, that in the ages to come, He, God, might show. So there's something He wants to show the people on the earth, obviously, if we're up in heaven, there's something He's wanting to show off through us up there. Okay, well, what is it? That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His what? Grace. In His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You are going to be placed on public display in the ages to come, in the eternal ages, to show all those kings and nations that are down there on the new earth, we're going to show them what the grace of God has accomplished. They're going to look up into the heavens, and they are going to see living testimonies of the grace of God. They're going to see heathen sinners, wicked sinners that were alienated, reconciled to God by sheer grace. People who had no covenants of promise, no hope, without God in the world, but now we are shining in the heavenlies because of the intercessory crosswork of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must remember that we have been made one with Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5, go over there, Ephesians chapter 5. And notice what the Bible declares in verse 30. Ephesians 5:30 says, "For we," that's the body of Christ, "we are members of His," Christ, "body, of His flesh, and of His bones." Now, go back to Ephesians 1. We're hopping around here. Good, aren't we? Ephesians 1, and look at verse 20. Very important. We're going to see some amazing things here. Look at Ephesians 1, verse 20. Now follow the words here. Okay? Well, go back to verse 19. "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead," and He raised Him from the dead, and what's that next word? "Set Him." Now, where else did we see that? Okay, look down at, keep your finger there and go to chapter 2, verse 6. "And hath raised us up together and made us" what? That's the same Greek word right there. Same Greek word. "Set" is the same word used for us down there in chapter 2, verse 6. So He raised up Christ. Now look what He did. Go back to chapter 1, verse 20. "Set Him at His own right hand in the" where? Well, wait a minute. Where were we set? We were set in the heavenly places. Okay, verse 21. "Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named." Look at this. "Not only in this world." So He's been set in the heavenlies. Not only in this world, but notice He's been set in the heavenlies also in that which is to come. So that's speaking of eternity future. Now let's just stop a second And let's think about what we've learned. Christ was raised from the dead. He was set in heavenly places. Remember, that means to continue, to tarry. So Christ is set in heavenly places. He's set to tarry, to dwell in heavenly places. Not only in this life, he said, but in the world which is to come. But now hold on just a second. Whoa, wait a minute. In Revelation 22:3, we saw Christ in the New Jerusalem down there on the new earth. How can this be? How does Christ maintain an exalted position in the heavenlies in the world which is to come, but yet have an exalted position in the New Jerusalem on the new earth? How does he do that? How does he maintain both? Look at verse 22 and 23 and you get your answer. Here's how he does it. And so there's something else he's done. Not only did he raise up Christ to sit in heavenly places for the world which is to come, verse 22, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his what? Body. And notice how the Bible describes the church, which is his body. The fullness of him that filleth what? All in all. So how does Christ have this exalted position on the new earth in the new Jerusalem, but yet also have this exalted position in the heavenlies? He does it through us. We are his body. We've been made one with him. And in eternity future, we will fill the heavens with Christ's fullness and with his glory. Romans 8:18 says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." You see, right now we represent Christ as his ambassadors on the earth. Is that a permanent assignment or a temporary assignment? That's a temporary assignment. We represent him as his ambassadors on the earth now, temporary assignment. We will represent Christ in eternity, in the ages to come. Ephesians 2:7, look at it. Ephesians 2:7, that in the ages to come. Now, where are we at in the ages to come, according to verse 6? Ephesians 2:6, look at it. Where are we at in the ages to come? Heavenly places. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. Is that good stuff or what? Amen. Look at Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Go over to Colossians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, verse number 15. Now, let's go down to verse 16. It says, "For by him," the him is Christ, "for by Christ were all things created that are in the world." Is that what it says? No, no, no. There's a division here, just like in Genesis 1:1 in your Bible. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. There's a division here. Notice, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created." All the things in earth, all the things in heaven were created by him and for him. Now, according to that verse, there are things that were created in the heavens. There is a ruling structure that God created in the heavenlies. And he created it to be run and to be ruled by Jesus Christ. Verse 18 says, "And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead." There's that phrase again. "That in all things," remember, the all things are the things in heaven and in earth, "that in all things he," Christ, "might have the preeminence." He is the head of which we are the what? Come on. He is the head, we are the body. Now stay with me. I told you you have to think. Why did Christ take this position as risen head of the church instead of just taking the position as king over Israel on the earth? Why? Did you ever think about that? He's going to reign over all the earth as king. So why did he take the position as risen head of a new organism, a new body, a new man that he created called the church, the body of Christ? Why did he take that new position as risen head when he already, it's already prophesied, he's going to have the position as king of Israel over all the earth? Why did he do that? Look at the end of verse 18. Look at the end of verse 18. What's the last phrase there? Here's why he did it. That in what? All things. What are the all things? All things in heaven and in earth. The all things of verse 16. That in all things he might have the preeminence. He is definitely going to have preeminence on the earth when the New Jerusalem comes down and he brings his throne room down to the earth and it lands on planet earth that he creates. And his throne, the Davidic throne, is established over all the earth. Kings and nations are coming into it. He's definitely going to have preeminence on the earth when that throne room is brought down to the earth. But God isn't satisfied. God is not satisfied with His Son just being glorified in the earth. God desires the heavens and all that's in them to glorify His Son, Jesus Christ. And God's purpose for us, the body of Christ, is we are part of this great cosmic plan that God has to reconcile the heavens to Himself. Look down at verse 20, Colossians 1. It says here, "And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself." There's that all things again. "By Him I say," here it is, "whether they be things in earth or things" where? "In heaven." Things in heaven. It's when God glorifies us, the Bible says He's going to fashion us like unto the glorious body of Jesus Christ. When He does that, now listen, when he glorifies us, we get our new bodies. He sets us in those heavenly places. He does that so that the heavens will reflect the glory of Jesus Christ in the ages to come. Now you said, "That doesn't excite me." Something's wrong with you, friend, if that don't excite you. I'm serious. You got a spiritual problem if that doesn't excite you. You are part of God's great cosmic plan to take the heavens and the earth, reconcile them unto Himself, and have both the heavens and the earth center in and glorify His Son, Jesus Christ. And you got a part in that plan. Heathen, lost, pagan, Gentiles with no hope, no promises, no covenants, but we are reconciled to God. Why? Because of the sheer grace of God. It's not because God saw anything good in us. It's because of the good in His Son, Jesus Christ. That's why. It's not because God looked down and said, "Boy, they look like some really good building material down there. I think I can really build something with them and do something with them. Boy, they're sharp. There's some gold and diamond down there." No, He said, "You know what? They're just old earthen pots of clay. But I'm going to put the glory and the power of My Son inside those jars of clay. And I'm going to redeem them. And I'm going to change and glorify them. And I'm going to set them in heavenly places to reveal the glory and grace of My Son, Jesus Christ, in the ages to come." And through the nation of Israel, God, Christ will be preeminent on the new earth. And all those covenant promises about the earth and the kings and nations coming to are all going to be fulfilled. And Christ will be preeminent as he works through that channel, that vessel of Israel on the earth. But there was a hidden purpose, a secret purpose, a mystery that God didn't tell anybody. And that was through this new organism that he would create called the body of Christ. The heavens would also be reconciled unto God and the glory of his Son revealed. Now some of you think I forgot all about my notes, don't you? But let's go to the notes, and I'm going to give you now that you got that, I'm going to give you some thoughts here, okay, that are going to go quickly. God's purpose for the new heaven involves the church, the body of Christ. Number one there, our eternal blessings are said to be located in the heavenlies. All right, if you're in, go back to Ephesians real quick, Ephesians 1:3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings." Where are they located? In heavenly places in Christ. Are my blessings earthly or heavenly? Heavenly. Okay, go to number two. Our conversation, our citizenship, our life is said to be in the heavens. Philippians 3:20. He says, Our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies. Number three, we have an eternal house in the heavens. We have an eternal house in the heavens. That word house means a residence. It means an abode. Y'all have an earthly residence, right? I've got an earthly residence in South Daytona, Florida. And you have an earthly residence, I hope, somewhere here in the area. The Bible says we have an eternal house, an eternal residence, an eternal abode in the heavens. And that's in 2 Corinthians 5, 1 and 2. And then number four, we are part of a heavenly kingdom. Paul said that God will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. By the way, that's why God raptures us out. When the rapture takes place, does he come down to earth to get us? No, what does he do? He descends in the heavens and we're caught up to meet him where? In the air, in the heavens. See, because his purpose for us is up there. So he doesn't come down to the earth. He takes us up there because that's where his purpose for us is. See, God's purpose for you as a member of the body of Christ is in the heavenlies. So he doesn't come down to the earth. He meets us up in the heavens. See, a few other thoughts, okay, about our eternal inheritance. Number one, in eternity, we will display God's wisdom to the angelic host in heavenly places. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, and look with me at verse number 10. Well, let's go up to verse 9. It says, "And to make all men see," Paul said, this was his purpose. This was Paul's purpose. "And to make all men see." He wanted everyone, all men. Paul had an all men ministry, every man ministry, "to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, under the principalities and powers in" what? Heavenly places, "might be known." How are they going to know the manifold wisdom of God? Look at the verse, that the powers in heavenly places, speaking of the angelic host, principalities and powers, that governmental system that he's established in the heavenlies, that the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the what? That's us. What are they going to know through us and by us? The manifold what? So look in your handout. It says in eternity we will display God's wisdom to the angelic host. Paul calls it the hidden wisdom of the cross. And he said that had the rulers of this world known of that hidden wisdom in the cross, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So that hidden wisdom of the cross, we are literally going to teach the angels about that hidden wisdom. By us, the manifold wisdom of God will be taught to the angels. How does that make you feel to know you'll be teaching angels in eternity? Pretty cool, huh? That's what the Bible says. Not only that, number two, in eternity we'll rule and reign over God's angelic creation. Now, those of you who love to be bossy and give orders, you're going to love this. In 1 Corinthians 6, 2 and 3, it talks about how believers are going to judge angels. And that word judge doesn't mean the idea of condemning. Doesn't mean we're going to judge and condemn angels. No. What it means, that word judge, you know the meaning of the word. If I say, boy, Pastor Larry, I really trust your judgment. Am I saying I trust your condemnation? No, no. If I say I trust your judgment, what am I saying? I trust your what? Wisdom or discernment, his decision making, right? He's got good judgment. See, and that's the idea. When it says that believers are going to judge angels, it's the idea of we're going to discern what they do. We're going to give them their marching orders in eternity. There's a governmental structure on earth, Colossians 1:16 said. There's a governmental structure in the heavens, Colossians 1:16, that were created. Of course, they've both been defiled by sin, Satan. And the cross work of Jesus makes it possible for the governmental structures of heaven and earth to be reconciled back to God. And we'll have a part in that in the heavenly places. And we will give the angels their marching orders in the ages to come. So how does that make you feel to know you'll be teaching angels and bossing around angels in the ages to come? Okay, look at the next thing. It says we will be occupying the heavens of the New Jerusalem. Now, I don't want you to get the idea that we have no part in the New Jerusalem that comes down on the new earth. Because I want you to remember something. Look up here and listen closely. Do you remember what I taught you last week about the New Jerusalem? The Bible gives the dimensions as being 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, and 1,500 miles what? Goes up into the heavens. That's 7,920,000 feet straight up. That's a lot of heavens. Would you agree? So we are going to be in the New Jerusalem and enjoying it. And I don't believe that when he said, I go to prepare a place, I don't think it just meant the part of the New Jerusalem that'll be down on the earth. I think it's all going to be magnificent in beauty. And we're going to be enjoying that in the ages to come. 8 million. Now you figure a plane is 30,000 feet, right? About 30, somewhere in there. 30,000 feet. 7,920,000 feet up. That's a lot of heavens. We're going to occupy those places. Does anybody remember this? God is called the Most High God. This is Old Testament here. The Most High God, possessor of... Does anybody know? Can anybody finish the sentence? Thank you. Possessor of heaven and earth. God's eternal kingdom. Now, you got to get this. God's eternal kingdom not only covers land where the earth will be ruled, but it covers the air where the heavens will be ruled. That's why God gives you the height of the city, because the heavens are going to be ruled from this eternal location, just as the earth will be ruled. Just as the New Jerusalem will be headquarters, base of operations for the new earth, the New Jerusalem will also be the base of operation for the new heaven, because it goes 8 million feet up. So, I'm wanting you to get a glimpse here, and I want you to see that when we think about eternity, it's really more than just, well, I'm just going to die and go to heaven, float around on a cloud, play a harp, and sing Kumbaya forever. It's really more than that. Okay? And I want you to see that there's more to it than that. There is a governmental organized structure that God put in place in the beginning and was created by Jesus Christ, by Him and for Him, to glorify Jesus. And that in the heavens and that on the earth both been defiled by sin. And so God's plan, this great cosmic plan, is to take both and reconcile them to Himself, that they may glorify His Son, Jesus Christ. And we have a part in that plan. And that's what I want you to see. And so, the New Jerusalem, you know, people say, oh, I'm just going to die and going to go up to heaven. And I'm going to be in the New Jerusalem. Well, the New Jerusalem's coming down where? To earth, but it extends up into what? Extends up into the heavens. So, some of you may be wondering, well, are we going to be coming down to the earth at all? If God has set us to tarry in the heavenly places, which He said in the ages to come, we've been made to sit, to tarry in heavenly places, are we going to have access to the new earth? Well, and you know what I think of when I think of that? When Jacob saw the angels, and remember, we're working in conjunction with the angels in the ages to come. And even though angels primarily are working in the heavenlies, the principalities and powers are up there in the heavenlies. Yet when Jacob saw the angels, and he remember the ladder? Remember the ladder he saw that was going from earth to heaven? What did he see the angels doing on the ladder? They were ascending and descending. So the idea is some of the angels were going up to report to God, you know, on assignments they'd been given. Some of them were going out on assignments. They were coming down from heaven to earth. And I believe that the same will be true of us. And then the last thing in your notes there, it says, we will help to give light to the new Jerusalem and to the entire earth. Now, in Revelation 21, it said there's no night in the New Jerusalem. As you may remember, why? Why is there no night in the New Jerusalem? The glory of God and the Lamb. The Lamb. Who's the Lamb? Jesus. The glory of God and the Lamb light it. And it's enough light for the entire nations of the earth to be able to function. The Bible says there's no sun. And there's no moon. So my question then is this. Does this mean one incredible blinding light coming from the physical body of Jesus down there on the new earth for eternity? Well, here's what I want you to remember. If we're saved today, we have been made one with Christ. We're one with Him. It is Christ's body, remember, we're His body, Christ's body that's going to shine forth His glory in the heavens for eternity, lighting the new earth and the new Jerusalem. Now, who is that? That'd be us. That's why Paul said the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be what? Revealed in us. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, Paul said, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Eternal weight of glory. Well, I hope you're getting this. If I have an eternal weight of glory, then how long does that glory last? Forever. And where am I going to be in eternity? I've been made to sit in heavenly places, that in the ages to come. Okay? So I've got this glory, the glory of Jesus in this earthen vessel, and the glory of Jesus It's an eternal weight of glory revealed in us. What does Paul call us over and over? Children of light. So do you believe that as we're set in those heavenly places in the ages to come and he's displaying the riches of his grace, do you believe that there'll be glory coming forth from us? Yeah. The glory of God and the Lamb light the city which lights the new earth. We will have a part in that. There's an interesting passage we covered in 1 Corinthians 15 about the resurrection and how that we will be resurrected from the dead and we will bear Christ's image in eternity, the Bible teaches. There in 1 Corinthians 15, 41, 42, 40, 44, along in there. We are going to shine for Jesus. In the resurrection of the dead, it says we're going to bear his image, Paul said, in eternity. We're going to shine for Jesus. How bright are we going to shine? Well, Paul said, just as the stars differ in glory and brightness, each one of those stars have a different glory and brightness. Just as the stars differ, he said, so also is the resurrection of the dead. So it appears that the brightness and the glory with which we shine is going to have something to do with what you did with your inner man when you were here on this earth. Whether you live for the things of your flesh or whether you were concerned with building up your inner man that you may glorify him. See, here's the beauty. You don't have to wait until you're set in heavenly places to glorify Jesus Christ. The life of Christ, Paul said, I want that to be what's manifest in my mortal flesh. The life of Jesus can be on display right now in the way we live our daily life. The life of Jesus can be seen in you. The light of Christ can be seen in you right now. And as you do that, you are practicing literally for eternity. Because what you're going to take to heaven, are you going to take that body with you to heaven? You can fix it up, doctor it up. You can pull and tug, cut, do whatever you want. But that thing's going to disintegrate and you're not taking it with you to heaven. What you are taking to heaven with you is your spirit, your inner man. And that's why Paul over and over and over wanted believers to grow in their inner man. Be strengthened in your inner man. Because it's that inner man that you're going to take to heaven. And what you've done with your inner man is going to determine your capacity to shine and to rule out there in eternity. In other words, what you're doing right now really does matter in eternity. The choices and decisions you're making now really do matter in light of eternity. They matter. And there's going to be different in God's ruling structure out there, there's all different ranks of authority and different ranks of responsibility. And those who did very little to build up their inner man, there's not going to be a whole lot of capacity there. Because that's what you're taking with you. And there's not going to be a whole lot of capacity there to rule and reign and to show forth the glory of Christ. Others who have built up the inner man, fed their inner man, focused on the inner man instead of just pleasing and gratifying the flesh, there's going to be a lot more capacity there. There's going to be a lot more ability and responsibility for them in eternity. And a lot more privilege and opportunity because of what they did here on planet Earth to build up their inner man. So, isn't it great to know we have a part in this great cosmic plan, huh? And great to know that. So let's do this. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. And with our heads bowed, with our eyes closed. I know I've given you a lot here tonight and a lot to think about. And you may want to go back and listen to this again. Because it really is important that we get this and that we understand these things. And as I said, it's a lot more than just, I'm just going to die and go to heaven and live in a mansion and, you know, and fish in the river of life, and I'm just going to go to heaven and float around on a cloud and play a harp. No. No, there's going to be a whole system of operation taking place in eternity future, of which we will have a part. With the base of operation being the New Jerusalem, and with the heavens and the earth, a ruling structure going on, taking place to glorify Jesus Christ. So friend, you need to make some decisions based on the future now. You need to make some decisions now. And don't waste day after day after day. Make those decisions now. And you need to practice right now shining forth the glory of Christ. As Paul said, that Christ may be magnified in my body. Well, that's what we're going to be doing in eternity. So we get ready to do that right now by living that way now. Father, I pray you'll do a wonderful work, Lord, in our hearts through your word tonight. We love you so much. And thank you, God, for what you're doing in our lives, in our inner man, to change and transform us, that we may show forth the glory of Christ. I pray you'll do a wonderful work now in Jesus' name. Amen.